We've got two more weeks in the book of Romans. Today is January 24th of 2016. Entitled the message, How to Behave. And we're going to look at sections of Romans chapter 12. So I stretched it out on here because it fit better than on that slide in big print. How we are to be and behave is the real title, but I couldn't get that to fit on the big slide, so I shrunk it. Point number one, our personal responsibility is to become living sacrifices, give our lives away. Number two, understand the body's function, and then the body's function, the church body of Christ's function. And lastly, our personal responsibility is to love. So those are the three points that I wanted to cover. God wants us to be right and then do right. And it's always that pattern that he wants from us. To be in right relationship, to be submitted to the Holy Spirit, to have surrendered our lives, and then from that base camp, go out in sorties and missions to do the right things. So the Holy Spirit gave Paul guidelines for living out this redeemed resurrection life in our very fallen world. So what we do is we give ourselves to Christ as he gave himself to us. That's as simple as I can say it. He gave his life for us. He sacrificed and he consistently gave to others from himself up to and including his death. He willingly, sacrificially gave his life for you and I. And that's what we're supposed to do in attitude day to day. Same way he walked through this life with his family and his friends. That's what we're supposed to do. And fortunately, he gave us the Holy Spirit so we can do that. God is too much of a gentleman to ever force anyone to give him their love or themselves. He'll never make you do it. He never forces his way on anyone. But when we do that, the power of the Holy Spirit comes, and then that does in us and through us all this outline. And the outline is really sort of a guideline, a gauge on your dashboard to check and see how it's going. And so in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, brothers and sisters, God has shown you his mercy. So I am asking you to offer up your bodies to him while you are still alive. Your bodies are holy sacrifice that is pleasing to God. When you offer your bodies to God, you are worshiping him. Do not live any longer the way the world lives. Let your way of thinking be completely changed. Then you will be able to test what God wants for you. And you will agree that what he wants is right. His plan is good, pleasing, and perfect. So A on your outline, our personal responsibility is to offer. We offer our body to God as living sacrifices. That's what we do. We come and give that offering to him in the same way Jesus gave his life as an offering for us. It's a daily activity of surrender to God. And I would like to tell you that in your morning devotional time, when you're getting started, you could do it one and done. But that doesn't seem to work out in practical experience. Practically speaking, what happens? The flesh rears its ugly head up sometime during the day, and you start living again the way the world does, and it requires you to come back to the altar and reestablish this offering your body as a living sacrifice. God wants us to be willing to offer to him what is valuable to us. And it seems to give myself to him and let go of it, that's easier than to let go of the ones that I love most. It seems easier for me to do that than to watch somebody else do it. Now, be on your outline. Our personal responsibility is to not conform to the pattern of the world. Your blank is the pattern. There is a pattern that the world lives by. And I will honestly tell you, it's easier to see that pattern every day than it is to look up and say, oh, there's a Christian. I want to live just like him. Most of the time, what you will get is 90%+ world stuff and maybe, at the best case scenario on a day, 10% God stuff. Christians live in the right way. most of what you see in this fallen world is going to be the pattern of the world. And unfortunately, that shows up even in people who claim to be Christians. So, is there a worldly pattern? I think there is. It's me getting what I want. That's usually where mine shows up. Selfishness, self-centeredness, wanting to be in control. There are all kinds of things that happen all the time that mess me up because it's not the way I want it to be, or it reminds me of something from the past. It messes me up when these things happen, and then I'm not living the Christ-centered life, but I am living a flesh-centered life. The world's values can live in us even when we're not practicing the customs of the world. Christians may not do the things of the world, but they could be proud that they don't. Covetous, selfish, stubborn, arrogant. The scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day didn't do the wrong stuff, and they were so blinking proud that they didn't do the wrong stuff that they lost everything else. They were the religious people. And a lot of times, as you look at people who claim to be Christians, they're really proud that they don't do the things that the world does. You know, and that's just as wrong as doing the stuff that the world does. So don't live any longer the way the world lives, but let your way of thinking be completely changed. In your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And I can honestly, truthfully tell you that if you can live by your thinking and make choices based on right thinking, you are way better off than to be emotionally confused and make choices based on your emotions. You will do one or the other. You will either think right and choose right, or you will feel something and make a choice based on that. And I've struggled over the last couple years to not live on the feeling side of my life. Struggling with the depression about the time I think I'm climbing my way out of that hole. Then a whole wave of new stuff comes in. That just, it's like being out in the ocean. It feels like it's out of control. You can't fight a wave that big. But I know the truth that if I could get my thinking straight and not live by the emotions that I'm having, I'd be way better off. And I've learned how to stuff my emotions so I can talk about them and not relate them. I used to use all that emotion to express what I was feeling, which always turned out bad. So I don't encourage you to do that. But living by your thinking is the right way. It's not the world's way. The world's way is to get all emotionally tangled in all of the junk that's going on and everything that people are doing wrong and not doing the way you want them to. And to get upset about that and to live focused and fed on those emotions. Julie and I would often travel with other couples, and in the morning we would do our Bible studies and we would meet them for breakfast, several different couples that we traveled with. And when we would, what they had done that morning was watch the Today Show or Good Morning Garbage. And they came with all of the bad stuff that had happened. We had spent our morning with the Lord, and they had spent their time in the world. And obviously, the conversation at the breakfast table was a lot different from the two families. So don't focus on the worldly junk. Don't think about that. Think about what is right and true and biblically straight and solid. See, our personal responsibility is to be transformed. Transformed is the word, by renewing your mind. Transformed is an amazing concept. You change into something you weren't, from a worm to a butterfly, you know. And so we want to be transformed, and it's our responsibility to take the steps to change, to not continue to live in 2006 the wrong ways we did in 5, 4, 3, 2010. We can change the way we think and choose what we want to think about. You have that choice. I do too. I'm encouraging you to learn like I do to make different thinking choices. Focus on what's right, what's true, what's honest, what's pure. God understands how we are made, and we lead with our head. New thinking will create new life patterns, and we all need to renew these each day, several times per day. I watched part of the Bulls games with the Cavaliers last night, and I was amazed at some of the great players, how they can move their head one way, and the defensive person buys into the head fake, and they can actually make their body go the different way and make them look like they're, you know, stuck to the floor. But you fake them out with a head fake. And so you lead with your head in most everything you do, physically. And psychologically, that's the way the Bible wants us to do it too, is to lead with our thinking. In Romans 8:5 is a passage about the flesh. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. There's a setting that you can make, a channel change in your mind to set your thinking on different things. You can change from setting it on your feelings to on thoughts that are true and right and logical. Verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. It's black and white. If you continue to live like I've been struggling with, living by emotions, that leads to death. In your relationship with God, your relationship with others, and eternally, it's not going to look really pretty when you have to answer for all of that. So set your mind on different stuff this year. The truth is, when our mind is governed and upright by the Spirit, we will be transformed. The Spirit will do that for us. D, your personal responsibility is to test and approve what God's will is for your life. Test it, approve it, do it. God's will for us is to clearly written in the by the Holy Spirit in the Bible. Test it by being willing to try the truths out in your lives and experience a difference. When you totally surrender, you will experience a different way of life. So, number two, understand the body's function, your physical body, and the body of Christ, the church's function. The Holy Spirit gave Paul a very universal illustration. People everywhere can relate to it. We all have a body, and we kind of understand it, and we kind of take care of it. So in Romans 12, verses 3 through 5, God's grace has been given to me. So here is what I say to every one of you. Don't think of yourselves more highly than you should. Be responsible when you think about yourself. Keep your mind the amount of faith God has given you. Each of us has one body with many parts, and all the parts don't have the same purpose. So it is, we are many people, but Christ, we are one body. And each part of the body belongs to other parts. So, the head of the body. Don't think of yourself more highly than you should. Think about yourself honestly, realistically. Don't think about yourself haughtier than you should, thinking you know what's right, thinking you are right, thinking it's the what you want, and that's the right thing. Thinking that's what you need, or that's the way it should go, or that's the way they should do it. Don't think you're better than other people and you know better than they do. Know who you are and whose you are. Do not become proud or conceited. Some people are smarter than anyone else in the room. Some have more physical talent than another. When I watch the football games this afternoon and evening, there are people that have giftings better than everybody else. That's true. Just don't taunt it or talk about it. Be reasonable when you think about yourself. Keep in mind the amount of faith God has given you. B, each of us has one body with many parts. One, you got one body. Paul is using the concept of the human body to teach how Christians should work together. Just as the parts of a body work together under the direction of the brain, Christians are to function under the direction of Christ. There are many parts to a human body. All the parts don't have the same purpose. But when any part is not functioning correctly, they all suffer. That's the way it is. See on your outline, in Christ we are all one. You have one body, and in Christ we are one body. Paul has done well in the first 11 chapters of Romans defining who is this body of Christ. Each part of the body belongs to all the other parts. As you look at the gifts of the body, people often ask, what is my gift? Look in your life. What is it you love to do? That's probably where your gifting is. If you love to do it, you spontaneously want to do the right things, that's your gifts. So the last point is the personal responsibility to love. Most of us have learned by now how to pretend to love others, how to speak kindly at times, avoid hurting their feelings, and appear to have an interest in them. Sincere love really requires a concentrated effort. You can't genuinely love somebody without working at it. It demands our time, money, personal involvement, love. The potential for deep pleasure and deep pain are involved in this sincere love for people. In Romans chapter 12, 9 and 11 says, love must be sincere, honest, and true. Hate what is evil. Hold on to what is good. Love each other deeply. Honor others more than yourselves. Never let the fire in your heart go out. Keep it alive. Serve the Lord. Love must be sincere, is your blank on A. Sincere, honest, true, real, not fake. Love must be honest and true. Paul's illustration is one many of us can relate to. Never let the fire in your heart go out. This is the time of the year that I build fires. And if you don't put the wood in, the fire goes out. Even if you don't put the wood in the right way, it goes out. You have to tend it. It's not like your furnace in your house that you just set the thermostat on program and forget it. You've got to feed it, make it work. It's the same way with love relationships in our life. If you want to have a good relationship, you've got to feed it right. Keep it alive. Keep stoking it. Serve the Lord like that. Keep the fire in your heart burning. Keep feeding it. Keep putting wood into it. Be devoted to another. Love others deeply. Be on your outline. It's your personal responsibility to keep the right attitude. Attitude is primarily the best thing that you could do. Have a good attitude in what's going on. And you have to keep that and not let it slip away, not let it be stole away by patterns of the world. Many believe that the attitude is the most important part of success in all of life. Having the right positive attitude, having the confidence, keeping that in our relationship with Christ, keeping that right attitude is critical. Christ always kept the right attitude. Never let it slip away. Never was distracted. That's what we need to be transformed to do. God gives us a clear list of how we are to be and how we are to respond. So we need to decide if we're willing to let God transform us into people he's always known we can be. When he saved us, he knew all we could be. And he wanted all of that for us. We just got to let him. God will pay back. Let him. The people that you're struggling with, you're upset with, you're distracted by, just let God take care of them. He will pay him back. Have you ever played the payback game? When I worked at the steel mill and in the Army, we used to do that all the time. Somebody would get one over on you, and you couldn't wait to pay him back. I was cleaning my garage, and one of my friends deceived me into thinking there was a hogatilla. And as I was going through all the paperwork and I saw that, I said, ooh, that's been about 20 years now. I bet you I could sneak up on him and get him back for that. You know? You ever played that game? Oh, yeah, I'll get you back. Even? No, just a little better. You know, that's the way it is in the world. God has made his position very clear. It's written, I am the one who judges people. I'm not supposed to judge whether they're doing it right, whether they're doing it the way they should. I'm not the one who's supposed to judge myself when I make mistakes. I'm not. If possible, live at peace with everyone. Do that as much as you can, is what Paul says. Jesus spoke about this and the attitude of way of living with his friends and followers and his enemy. We would do well to do the same with our friends and enemies. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. By doing these things, you'll put burning coals on his head. And you got to admit, letting God set your enemy's hair on fire is a great picture. Just let God do it. He can do it way better than you. Don't try to fix it. Get even. Get angry. Just give it to God and watch what he does when you're really nice. D on your outline, do not let. Easiest word to spell, let evil overcome you. Overcome evil by doing good. We can let the fire of love go out. It's simple. Just stop feeding it. Goes out. We can get our flesh patterns of evil stopped. Just stop feeding them, and they starve to death. Just stop feeding them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Spirit working in and through Paul to write Romans. So difficult and challenging to understand and appropriate, but such a clear roadmap of where you want us to get and how you want to do it. So humbly, we just lay our lives before you this morning, ask you to lead us down the path of all of these things that you've shown us and transform us into the children, into the humans you want us to be, so there would really be a good guy out there or a good girl out there that people would look at and say, oh, wow, I want to be like them, not functioning in the old fleshly world patterns anymore. So we just ask you to take us and use us in Jesus' name. Amen.